Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from beautiful, sunny Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 15th, 2010, episode 11. This one's sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Jamie, and welcome back to Horses in the Morning after your brief stint on Friday heading down to New Orleans, which we have to hear all about. But I also wanted to take a minute and thank Helena for filling in. She did a great job.
Oh, well, did she have a good time?
Yeah, she had a good time, and it was she was trial by fire at one point. One point, all three of us got booted off, and we had to get back on, and she just kept talking. So it was trial by fire for Helena.
That's so great. Well, you're down in Ocala, Florida. Is that correct, at your brother's place?
Yeah, I'm at my brother's place here at a farm in Ocala. Beautiful down here. We came down on Friday and then spent Saturday. We had our Thanksgiving. All my brothers came in from around the country and their wives, and we had a great time, and then we all went together yesterday over to Disney Studios, and we had a wonderful time over at Disney Studios yesterday. The weather was absolutely within the high 70s, no humidity at all, bright sunshine,
wow.
And a little cool breeze blowing, which for Florida is unusual. So it was just beautiful. I mean, it was
also
one of the most beautiful.
You know, Glenn, you are at the happiest place on earth. So, of course, it's going to be perfect and beautiful.
It was.
So what did you guys
do? We just did everything. We were all over the place. We went all over the park. But one of the cool things that we got, two cool things we got to do, when we were down last, Jennifer and I used to come to Disney World all the time. I'm just a big kid, you know. Robert Dunn, our listener who's called in before, I think he posted on the website when I posted we were going to be at Disney yesterday, he said, "You're nothing but a big kid." Well, that's absolutely right, Robert, I am. So we had a blast yesterday over at there. We went on the Aerosmith roller coaster, which wasn't there when we went last time to the studios. And that was, it's one of those that goes from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. It has that magnetic thing. And it's all indoor, and it's very loud. I don't know if you've been on that one yet. But it was a blast. Oh, that was so much fun. And we just had a great time. And then over at Disney Studios, they had bought the lights of, I think it's the Osborne family out of Little Rock, Arkansas, had a light display, a Christmas light display on their house that they kept growing every year, and it kept growing, and it kept growing. Well, when it got to 3 million lights, the neighbors started to complain a little, and, you know, the neighborhood was all lit up like it was daytime, and the power company, and he's having problems. So Disney actually bought his entire light display, which is unbelievable. And in the old backlot part of the studios where the houses are, makes it look like New York City. They completely decorated that street with these lights, and now there's 5 million lights, and they have all these displays and Christmas trees and stuff. And so we stayed last night until they turned the Christmas lights on there. It was unbelievable. And they played a couple Trans-Siberian Orchestra songs, and it was the lights were dancing to the music. It was just incredible. It was one of those special moments, you know, that you just go, this is really cool. I'm so glad I got to see this.
Even though it's only November 15th, are you feeling the holiday spirit?
That did it last night. That got me in the holiday spirit. I was ready. I was ready to go home and put up my lights because it was just so cool. And, you know, I didn't know that they'd have the Christmas stuff on display yet because I thought they waited till Thanksgiving to do that, but apparently not. So it was really neat. No, barely. So today, we're heading, immediately after we record the show today, we're heading down for our We're going to record a Stable Scoop episode at Arabian Nights Dinner Theater. So we're looking forward to that this afternoon, too. That's going to be a lot of fun.
That'll be great. Yeah. Glenn, now you know better than to think that they wouldn't have any Christmas lights up, because I was at Lowe's on October 2nd, and it was like the whole lawn and garden section was pushed to the back, and it was all Christmas lights and Christmas stuff on October 2nd. So
I know they are
Disney
being a little ridiculous, but yeah. Now, do you guys do a whole lot of Christmas lights and tree and all? Wasn't the first year together, actually?
Well, we've been together for Christmas 2 years, but this will be our first Christmas together as a married couple and together at home. My family's going to come actually visit us at the farm this holiday season, so that'll be really neat to have my brothers out here. They haven't seen the house or the farm, so they'll be out here, and we will definitely have to decorate this year. The last couple, it's hard to decorate when you know you're not going to be here. And so I have this little plastic kind of ficus tree that every year I put lights on and ornaments instead of buying, you know, big $50 for a Christmas tree when you're not even going to be here to enjoy it. So this year we will actually get a Christmas tree. We will put some lights up and we will absorb the holiday spirit this year.
Well, good. Well, that's good. And it should be interesting to see how much difference you lived in Georgia your whole life, though, so that's probably not going to be too much different. What Christmas like in the desert? You're going to have a desert Christmas for the first time.
Well, that's the weirdest thing about living here is even in Georgia, it gets really cold. Sometimes it snows. I lived in Kentucky and Ohio and, you know, up and down the East Coast. And when you live in Phoenix, it is so hard to get into the Christmas spirit just simply because it's not cold at all. I mean, it gets down to maybe 50 at night. It's 70 during the day, sunny and gorgeous. There's no leaves that change. You have to really try to immerse yourself in the holiday spirit just so you can remember it's actually Christmas time.
Well, see, you should have come with us last night and you would have gotten in the mood instead of going to New Orleans for a wedding. You could have come with us and gotten in the mood for Christmas.
Yeah,
speaking of New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly. There is nothing holiday like in New Orleans. Oh, my gosh. What a town.
Yeah, this is your first trip, right?
Yeah. First time, and I'm thinking probably the last time, although it's New Orleans is lovely in its own way. There's some beautiful historic areas. Some of the cemeteries are just, I mean, so full of history. Some of the parts of town are gorgeous. Unfortunately, the part of town that our hotel was at for the wedding was on Bourbon Street. On Bourbon Street, smack in the middle of it.
Didn't get much sleep, huh, Jamie?
Didn't get much sleep. And the people staying in the rooms around us certainly weren't sleeping because you could hear them all night long. The first thing you see when you walk, and we walked out of our really nice hotel, the inn on Bourbon Street, it was beautiful and historic, and then you walk outside and there's somebody throwing up in the street. So it's definitely an interesting and colorful town, and not to mention I can't even talk about some of the things that were really close to our hotel that it made me uncomfortable. And you walk down the road and you just see some interesting, entertaining things. And I must say that the police officers on horseback have a very thick presence, and good for them. They work very, very hard to try to keep the order on Bourbon Street on any given night. So that was interesting. And I also thought it was pretty interesting, and this part was actually neat. They do a lot of tours around the city with the horse and carriages, but I started noticing a trend. Yeah, and then I started realizing that they don't do horse and carriages, Glenn. Every single one of them was a mule pulling people around the town. Yes. Isn't that weird?
Huh. I wonder why.
I don't know
maybe
why
they
either.
A,
maybe they...
Maybe they have a dealer deal with the mule dealership.
I guess the mule dealership. They also probably stay a little bit sounder on the concrete, you know, trotting around. But it was interesting, and, you know, I must say the wedding was gorgeous. It was a friend of Chad's who he's been, you know, a fighter pilot with for a very long time. They were in Korea together. They've been all over the world together. And so it was really neat to see this guy, you know, find the love of his life and settle down and get married in this beautiful Omni Hotel in downtown New Orleans. The reception was great. The party was wonderful. Everything was great about it. So congratulations to them. And, yeah, that might have been my first and last time in New Orleans. I've learned.
Well, that's going to lead to our call-in topic for the day. But first, we want to mention that Jennifer is with us, but because we're remote here, we have a little bit of a challenging situation. She won't be able to be on the air with us today, but she will be taking your calls today and helping us out as the producer, and we thank her for that. And, of course, Jennifer's my wife. Thank you. I just want to clarify that so I don't get in trouble. But tell us what's on the show today, and then I'll talk a little bit about the call-in topic.
Okay, well, we actually have a very special guest today, Samantha Clark, Glenn's co-host for 2 years on the 2010 radio show. Yeah, she's going to be on the show in a couple of minutes, and we're going to kind of find out what she's been up to since the games. Also, speaking of the Wegs, there's an entertainer who actually performed, I guess, during the Wegs. Glenn, you can tell us more about this, but he's an Australian guy named Guy McLean, and we're going to talk to him. He's kind of like... And I don't know if he likes the comparisons or not, but he's kind of a Pirelli, kind of a Clinton Anderson, amazing horse trainer, does some really cool stuff with the horses.
He's more of an entertainer. He's more of a equine entertainer. So, you know, he's a trainer and an entertainer. We'll meet him and learn all about him a little later.
And then the love doctor, Dr. Jen, is going to come on. And from what I understand, we're going to learn a little bit about her and what she's going to be doing because she's going to join us every month. And she is a love doctor that incorporates horses and men and women. And so we should get some unique questions from her. She's a psychiatrist and works a lot with horses. So pretty cool.
And an inventor.
And she's an inventor.
Yes, I failed to mention that part.
She's going to come up on the show, and
we have I said we have a prize pack today too for callers, so we'll add that in. We are going to give away an Omega Alpha Welcome Pack valued at $150, and that includes all kinds of Omega Alpha products. Of course, they're the company that we have talked about here the last couple of Mondays, and they have only natural health products, including chill and reciprocal-free, biotic, GastroFX, liniment fly spray. That pack includes a little bit of everything here. It's a sample pack of all the different products worth $150, and you can win that today by just giving us a call. One lucky caller will win that prize pack from Omega Alpha, and you can find them at omegaalpha.ca. And we are going to take calls, and of course, all the calls, Jamie, as always, will qualify for the two grand prizes for the month. A $500 holiday shopping spree from Equestrian Collections. You can visit them at equestriancollections.com. And we're also going to give away your choice of any Vespucci bridle and reins worth up to $600, kindly donated by World Equestrian Brands. You can find them at worldequestrianbrands.com. So every caller today will be entered into the monthly drawing for the two big prizes, but our daily caller will win that Omega Alpha Welcome Pack. And today, Jamie, we both went away over the weekend, so we thought it'd be a good idea to talk about what?
Well, we want to find out. First of all, here's the phone number, 347-637-3238. 347-637-3238. You know, being in New Orleans, I actually probably could have come home on Saturday. The wedding was on Friday. I could have come home on Saturday, not because, you know, of any other reason other than, you know, you leave your animals. And I cannot help but worry about my animals when I'm gone. We have the 5 horses out back. We've got 4 chickens and 2 dogs. And, you know, I just worry myself sick about them. So we want to find out, do you fret about your horses the entire time you're gone? I have a great farm sitter, my husband and I do. She comes over. She takes very good care of the animals, does a great job. You still can't help but worry. And then, you know, Glenn, you and Jennifer board your horse. Do you worry about them at a boarding facility, anything like that? So there are certain places that I have boarded my horses and worried more about them at that boarding facility than I do with them actually at my house. Do you guys worry about Beaker?
No, I don't think we worry so much. We know he's in good hands. We have a good place where we keep Beaker, and, you know, we know he's in good hands there. So we don't worry so much about that. But we did used to have our own boarding facility with 20, 25 horses. And when you're leaving to go on vacation and you know that somebody else is taking care of your horses and all the boarders' horses, that's a different story. And we do have story after story of things that happened while we were on vacation and the calls we'd get at midnight or 2 in the morning, you know, that kind of thing. So it was interesting. We worry a lot less now than when we had the boarding stable. But, you know, we've been on vacation with horse people who, you know, they just call home 15 times a day. And were you one of those? Do you call home a lot?
You know what I had to do with the farm sitter? Her name is Diana. And I just had to tell her, don't call me unless something is wrong. Because if she was to call and update me, the second you see that name pop up in your cell phone, you freak. It doesn't matter if it rings one time. There is a feeling in the pit of your stomach that just, you just panic. And it's no fun. So I told her, don't call me unless something's wrong. And I also have a friend that owns a farm down the street, and she also knows to call her if anything's wrong. So I can't say that I panic all the time, although I'm sure my husband gets tired of hearing about the horses and hopefully, oh my gosh, I wonder if they're okay. Okay, well, the dogs, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's constant worry, even if you're not there and even if your horses are in good hands. But I think at a boarding facility, it can be even tougher because you don't hire the people that come and take care of your farm if you own if you are at a boarding facility. So it can be a certain interesting kind of thing, dynamic, to leave your horse with complete strangers or leave somebody that you've hired to take care of your farm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, and I also appreciate how your husband feels, because I've been on that side too, having to hear the constant, worried about this and worried about that. Although Jennifer was never as bad about that as some of our friends who you know do go home early from every vacation and because they're worried about the horses. So, you know, we've been down that road before, you know. So we want to hear from our listeners. What do you like? Well, first of all, where's your favorite place to go on vacation? And are you one of those people that fret, or do you have a magic way of dealing with it that doesn't cause you to fret anymore? So we'd like to hear your trick. Teach us how to do it better. All right, we have our first guest on the line today, a good friend of mine, her first time on this show, but spent 2 years together doing the 2010 radio show on the Horse Radio Network, all about the world equestrian games. Hi, Samantha Clark.
Glennie Glenn.
Hey, Sammy Sam, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm freezing, though. I should be in Ocala. That's not right.
Yeah, you should be, actually. It's very nice. It's beautiful down here. So let me ask you this before we get started on anything else. How did the Glennie Glenn and the Sammy Sam start?
I don't know. How did that start?
I don't know either. You started saying it, I think, somewhere after about year one of doing that show, and it just stuck. We always used it as our little way to introduce each other on the show. We wanted to have you back. We still get emails about the 2010 show, and I'm sure people are wondering where you're at.
About the 2012 show.
Well, we wanted to find out what you've been up to. What's it been like since you don't have to do a weekly show anymore?
It feels like I'm sort of drifting a little bit, but it's good. I'm working for John at eventingnation.com, which is fun. It's different, but it's good. It's a little more immediate.
What are you doing there?
You don't have to wait a week. I do a little bit of everything. I have a free reign, which is dangerous, but I'll do reports and interviews, and I'll definitely be coming south a lot in the winter to warmer climes, and yeah, we'll see. I interviewed Mick Costello. There'll be a report up later on Stephen Bradley Clinic over the weekend. And it's fun.
Are you doing audio, video, both, writing, blogs,
yeah,
or what are you doing?
A little bit of everything. And he had some great reports over the weekend from Eventing Safety, John, which makes it confusing, all over Adelaide. And he was terrific, which made me very wistful for Weg. He did videos and photos and writing, and he had Hamish and Dave on there, and he had the riders, and he had the vet, and he had the course designer. So he covered that pretty thoroughly for Eventing Nation. That was terrific. And it's nice. We cover everything between John and between all the, his contributors. It's a pretty good website, and I'm proud to be part of it.
Okay, Samantha, that was my question is, on Facebook, I'm a fan of anything eventing, and so I'm a fan of Eventing Nation, and then I'm also a fan of Eventing Safety John, and I've had a hard time separating the two and figuring out what these two entities are. So can you explain that a little? What is Eventing Nation? Who is Eventing Safety John? What is all that?
Eventing Safety John, he's actually in Australia, which is how he managed to get to Adelaide. And he, eventing, that's something he does as a hobby. He's just concerned about the safety in eventing. He loves eventing. And he's actually going to come to Red Hills and to Burley next year as the assistant technical delegate. And that's just something he does because he loves eventing and is concerned about the safety. So that's his website or his Facebook page where you can and his website mm-hmm. where you can find out all about safety, and he's obviously passionate about it. And eventingnation.com is run by someone here in Virginia in America, and he does typically 3 or 4 posts a day depending on how busy it is, and he has all different contributors like myself, and we'll pretty much cover everything. We'll break news when it happens. We'll cover events. We'll cover clinics. We'll cover amateur riders, veterinary issues, anything to do with eventing. If you need to know, it'll be on eventingnation.com, and there'll be videos, there'll be audio, there'll be photos. Whatever you need to know about eventing, there it is.
So you've been busy, obviously, since
I've been pretty busy, but I also have been... I couldn't help myself. When I see Weg, I'm like the Google alert person now. I'm like, oh, it's Weg news.
Did you see the article today in Kentucky.com from about Alltech and Dr. Lyons? Did you get to read that?
I did. That he thinks he'll make $100 million on the back of Weg. So that's I'm glad that he thinks it'll pay off.
Yeah,
and then
he
also
thinks that. Yeah, he
keeps writing lots of great articles and. About how to go forward after Weg, how Lexington can move forward the tourism. That was nice. Some good points from David Lord, who I met. Thank you to the 2010 radio show when you sent me off to some terrible sort of function all on my own. But luckily Jennifer came. I think she'll remember that we had to man the table. And I did a wonderful interview with David Lord, who's the president of the Lexington Convention and Visitors Bureau. And he was so interesting. And I was excited because I did it all on my own, and then I realized I hadn't pressed record. So that's another interesting article from Tom Eblin, who writes for the Herald Leader and Bluegrass and Beyond, and he's been writing some good stuff. And also, there were some interesting little things I noticed. It was too late. I probably should have put them on the Facebook page, but Frank Ostholt, who rode for Germany at the Weg, rode a lovely horse called Mr. Medicott. But then do you realize that afterwards, Sarah Algotson Ostholt, who's his wife, went to Lyon d'Angers and won the 6-year-old class on a horse called Mrs. Medicott.
Oh, you're kidding.
And that he also rode a horse in the 7-year-old class called Sir Medicott.
Hmm. Wow. So are these all related, or is it just coincidence?
The horses aren't related, funnily enough.
You're kidding. It's not the same stud or anything?
I don't think so, but I should find out. And then Peter Flareup for Denmark... rode his Weg horse, Silveray, was the only horse to go inside the time at Poe, 4-star, just recently.
Wow. See, you,
did you know
can't,
had...
you can't let go of it.
I know. You're right.
Did you know that we had Tom McCutcheon on last week here on the show? So that was kind of fun to talk to him. He was, you know, as usual, Sam, he was a good guest. The Raiders always were good guests. We could count on them for 2 years, couldn't we?
That was so much fun doing the raining. All of it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all fun. I think it was all a good
there
time.
There was even poor John, eventing safety John in Adelaide, said he caught Wegg flu.
Oh, because everybody came down sick in the legs?
Yeah, we all did. We all got sick.
At least
it seemed like half the people that went got sick. Just happened that way.
Well, I have a question for both of you, and it's going to probably be a pretty easy one. You know, you saw everything at the World Equestrian Games, both you, Samantha, and Glenn. Got to see all the championships and all the different disciplines and all of the side events that happened. What, Samantha, was your favorite thing at the World Equestrian Games?
I think just getting to go every day and be a part of it and see people and mingle with everyone and see people from every country and the flags and the patriotism. And it was just wonderful. Really, really enjoyed it.
So your favorite part was just being in the social aspect of it, I guess.
Yes. Definitely.
Well, Samantha was like a bunny, too. She was all over that ground all day, every day. She not only saw everything, I think she saw everything 10 times each day because she just didn't stop. She was on her bike all over the place. She was back, you know, she would be back towards the barns, and then she would be up watching the competition. But you spent a lot of time, too, watching the warm-up rings, and you really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I do. I like the behind-the-scenes thing.
Well, Glenn, what was your favorite part?
Oh, boy, that's tough. Well, I mean, there were so many.
It is.
Oh, yeah, picture day with the 50 women. That was kind of fun. It was tough. I mean, we did so many different things. I think you would have to ask that question. I think Samantha might agree with this. What was our favorite part of each day? Because we had so many cool experiences over the 16 days that were completely different. No day was really the same. Would you say, Samantha, it was different every day?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, well, you know, the food was our least favorite, by far, without question. There's no question.
Yeah.
We both agree on that. So.
Yeah. And it was fun getting all the feedback from people. And I liked having missions to go on. And people would say, can you find out who did this? Or can you get a picture of this? I enjoyed that. So I did more interaction. Although I'm still twittering away.
Yeah, you know, are.
Yep.
Samantha's still tweeting away, that's for sure. And you can find her tweets. You can follow Samantha still at Samantha L. Clark, right?
Yep, that goes on.
And we'll put a link in our show notes to that as well.
Thank you.
Well, Samantha, I appreciate you being on with us. Yeah, this has been so much fun to talk to you on the air again.
Well,
live
I miss you guys.
We miss
you
too.
Well, I'll be following you on Eventing Nation. We miss you tons, and thank you very much. And for those who didn't know, Samantha's also a photographer, and she did all of the pictures of us on horsesinthemorning.com. So we do appreciate that as well, Samantha.
Oh, you're very welcome. That was fun.
Yeah, they came out great. Well, Samantha, we'll be following you. I'm sure we'll have you back on the show as things come up, and you have fun over there covering the eventing.
Terrific. Thanks a lot. Have fun in Oklahoma.
All right, thanks, Sam. All right, bye-bye. Well, that was nice of Samantha to join us this morning. I do miss her. We had I worked with her. We did a show every week for 2 years, and then during the World Equestrian Games, it's like, you know, we were together 16 hours a day. So, although we did split up during WEG, and we covered different events a lot of the times, and then sometimes we just said, oh, heck with it, let's go sit together and watch. And I think those were kind of some of my most special moments, were the moments where we were just sitting there together. So that was a lot of fun. Well, we have a sponsor this half hour, and then we're going to get to Dr. Jen, the love doctor.
Yeah, Glenn, our sponsor this half hour is Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals. They create only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. One of the products that Omega Alpha is giving away in their prize package today is Respifree. It is used as the first line of treatment for breathing problems. It's used for horses with severe breathing problems such as COPD, heaves. It's also beneficial for horses that race on synthetic surfaces because that may contribute to respiratory problems. Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. Look for their products at retailers nationwide and visit their website at omegaalpha.ca.
Well, next up, we have Dr. Jen, who we call the Love Doctor. That's the segment name we're going to use here as she comes on with us about once a month to chat. She is Dr. Jennifer Oakley from Colorado, and she has a farm called, which I love this name, Jamie, it's called Happily Ever After Ranch. And she takes a look at the love of horses, horse people, and each other. And she's a contributor to Horse Tip Daily here on the Horse Radio Network. So we've had an opportunity to work together a little bit in the past. So let's get Dr. Jen here, if I can. Dr. Jen, are you there?
Good morning, Glenn.
Hey, Dr. Jen. Say hi to Jamie, my co-host.
Jamie, it's a pleasure to meet you.
It is a pleasure to meet you, too. We appreciate you being on with us. Glenn has told me so much about you, and from what I understand, and I want you to put this in your own words, you are a love doctor that deals with horses and people.
That is very true. I've always had two passions and only two passions, horses and love. And I've been able to finally combine them in what I call equine-assisted life coaching for horse lovers.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I help people find and create success from the barn to the boardroom to the bedroom. I mean, what's more fun than that?
Woo, I like it.
I love that thing, too.
It's sassy. Yeah, sassy in the mornings.
Well, so, you know, she's also an inventor with her husband, too. So, she's a little down and dirty at times, too.
That's right. And, you know, you guys were at the WEG, and my old trainer was Becky Holder, and I was so excited to see that she was doing so well, and then her horse lost a shoe, and she couldn't
oh,
finish. So that was a real bummer.
Yeah,
well,
that's
I have
right.
To say
Becky
courageous
had a little
Comet. He's one of my favorite event horses out there, and to see him and to see it come off in the middle of the broadcast. Oh, it was just tough, but what an amazing horse! And what a great coach! How cool!
Yeah, she was fabulous, and Courageous's Comet is just gorgeous, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, spectacular.
The other thing I do for riders is a peak performance expert. I help people create the blue ribbon ride, so it would have been nice to be able to coach some of those WEG riders on create a heart-based connection so that they could really create a brilliant wow performance.
Well, tell us, go into a little deeper about what exactly you do. Like if I was going to come out to you and say, I don't know if I'm having problems, just go into a little bit deeper of what exactly you do with the riders and helping them with their connection with the horses.
Well, sure. A lot of people, and Glenn and I have talked about this before, but a lot of people, horses really want to bond with us. And once we're bonded with them, they're really willing to do many, many things for us. Oftentimes, we show up at the barn so busy, so harried and frazzled, and so focused on what we want to do with them, that when we show up, we're just a little bit rude, you know? We kind of intrude
How
into
so?
Their space. So we just show up with a halter, and we walk up directly to them. We throw them in the cross ties. We throw some tack on them, and we get right down to business. Now, if we took them into the bedroom like that with our sweetheart, what kind of reaction would we get, you know? Not the horse, but our spouse.
Right. I never thought of it like that, ever.
The same skills that you use to create a great relationship at work or with your family or with your husband are pretty much the same skills that you can use to create a fabulous connection with your horse that makes your horse a partner. And from that partnership, that teamwork, that's what creates a brilliant ride. So I help people sort of discover what the obstacles are to being able to create that connected and that calm and confident ride so that they can enjoy their horse every single time out.
Okay.
Well, is that done quickly or over a period of time?
You know, there's a few basic skills that once people learn, it can dramatically shift a relationship sort of immediately. So on one hand, it can take one session. On the other hand, it takes a little bit of time to practice and convince your horse that really you are. It's like if you were tuned out, you know, of your husband for 6 months, and then suddenly you say, honey, really, I'm very interested in getting to know you again. You know, he wouldn't quite believe you until he had a little bit more experience of you being showing up differently. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So on the topic of, let me just go this way. I am recently married to a new horse husband. What exactly, how can I incorporate him into my horse world?
Is he already supportive of your passions? Does he understand why this is passionate for you?
Yes.
That I'm laughing because I remember we did a show, Glenn, about why it's better to marry a horsey husband.
Yes, that's right. We did. We did do that. Or was it better to marry one who wasn't horsey? That was the
yes,
argument. And
exactly.
That argument still goes on today.
Well,
I don't think
argument.
We settled it.
I think it's
well,
always easier to marry somebody who's already passionate about what you do. But if not, the most important thing is to invite them into your world and give them easy ways that they can sort of be supportive to you and feel like they're a part of it. Because sometimes it's a little threatening when you're so passionate about something and your partner doesn't know anything about it. And most of the time, partners want to be involved. So if you can give them simple, easy ways that they can actually be interested and be supportive, then they can feel like they're part of your passion, and that can strengthen your bond. I also work with singles to help them find their soulmates. That's the love doctor part, by the way.
Well, Dr. Jen, let me ask you this then. You say that there's simple and easy ways to incorporate, you know, throughout the years, and people have horse boyfriends and they have horse husbands, but they don't all start out that way. So for a new couple, a horsewoman who started to date a non-horse person, what are the couple of things that they can do to start with, you know, incorporating their horse boyfriend husband into their horse world?
Sure. I think something really simple, like starting out with just grooming one person on each side and then taking the horse for a walk on the ground with a picnic. So sort of make it romantic and fun. Don't make it really horsey in the beginning. Make it more about your connection together with the horse sort of just coming along for the ride.
Okay, so it's not a good idea to just shove a pitchfork in his hand and say, clean the stalls for 2 hours on the first day. That's not the way to do it.
Typically don't start with the poop, no.
Here, honey, welcome to the barn. This is my horse. I'm going to need you to scrub out all these waterers.
Just
and when you're
in.
Done, go
yeah.
ahead and refill them all, and then we're going to throw hay.
Exactly.
Yes.
Then we have 100 hay bales to put up. Exactly.
Yes.
So I probably started out wrong.
I love you. We're going to let you join the Horse Husbands Club because I think you could represent our needs very well as new horse husbands and horse husbands have been around a while. We're just going to have you teach the wives how to do it right for our benefit.
That's right. Yeah, you know, create some romance around the barn. There's always those stories about a roll in the hay, right? You know, maybe if you introduce a man to horses that way, he'll automatically start supporting your passion with a little more enthusiasm.
I really
yeah,
like Dr.
Jeff.
Now I'm all
So, Dr. Jen, you mentioned that you help singles find love through horses. First of all, if I have a single friend, how can I tell her to get a hold of you, and what are you going to do with her to get her involved in finding a guy?
Well, you know, we just had a workshop over the weekend, and I've gotten some great feedback. But essentially, the horses work as mirrors. They show us how we show up in relationship. And so whatever pattern that we have that are holding us back in love, whether it's attracting the right kind of guy or what happens once we do meet him, the horses are able to sort of show us what those patterns are so that we can't really deny them. And then they're able to help us access on a deeper level some of the core emotions that are getting in the way. And once those emotions are active, we can work to dissolve those blocks, and we can work to the horses. By working with the horses, we can bring in a new energy, whether it's confidence or worth or unconditional love, that they can feel in their body so that you can go take that out into your dating world. So once you're embodying confidence or unconditional love or self-worth, then you start attracting a new kind of person and a new kind of experience into your life. And so that's how we use horses to help singles really pinpoint what's getting in their way and make a profound shift so something really changes in their love life.
So you're not like doing Match.com or anything like that. You are actually teaching the individual to become a more empowered, stronger woman, and then sending them out. How do you set up anything, or is it all just about getting that person to fulfill their own heart and then sending them out?
It's a little bit of both. So I help people step into their best self so they can make authentic attraction happen. Then I also teach them how to use, like, Match.com. I actually met my husband on Match.com, and so one of my passions
is
help. Yeah, exactly. He lived only 5 miles away from me, and he was a horseman, and I found him on Match.com. So I know that you can find love online, and I enjoy helping people write their profiles and learn to use it effectively, because a lot of people don't know how to use it well.
Now, do you also kind of tell women what they need to look for? Because there's, I'm certain women that I know, and I'm certainly not talking about myself, that have found destructive type men to date in the past. So do you help them decide who to pick? No, not me at all, of course.
You know, actually, I used to really be fascinated by couples, but I decided that it made more sense to work with singles because of what you're talking about. So many of us, myself included, before I did my healing work, we have these destructive patterns of attraction, you know, whether we're attracted to the bad boys or the emotionally unavailable men, or we get on that roller coaster of love and we don't know how to get off. And so I decided that if I was really interested in helping people create a love that lasts a lifetime, that you should help people pick the right person to begin with, rather than try to clean up the mess later on when they're married to the wrong person.
Well, that obviously
makes a lot of sense.
And people are, as you're saying, people are replaying the ugly patterns over and over again, and they need a little bit of help to pop out of that pattern and create a different kind of habit that leads to real lasting love.
And do you find success with that, or do people... Okay, so let's say you've got somebody coming to you that's 35, you know, years old, has picked the wrong guys all this time. Can people change? You know, you always hear people don't change. Can they change?
I think that I am a great example of that. I have a string of relationship histories that involved emotionally unavailable men, and I am right now married to the most unconditionally loving and supportive guy I couldn't even have imagined he existed before I met him. And so I'm proof positive that it is possible to change those patterns. You have to be willing to do some deep work. You have to be willing to look at yourself, recognize the pattern, and then do some things that maybe are a little less comfortable than, you know, they may have been before.
So you kind of have to step out. Yeah, so you have to step out of your boundaries. Yeah, and I think that's interesting because I certainly, before I met my current husband, definitely did not choose the probably the best type of guy for me. So I find that you're right. People can change because I found one just like you did. So they're out there, ladies. I swear they are. You just have to find them. Be ready for them.
Keep looking. Yeah, never settle for less. And sometimes, quite frankly, if you're used to that unhealthy love, you have to date someone who might seem a little boring to you at first, or maybe you don't have that huge spark of chemistry. You have to let it grow over time, and you have to be a little more patient.
I will say that it can work. I'll put a defense up for us guys who married into the horse thing and were not horse guys before. That situation can work. It's proof in my wife and I's case that it did work. But I really like your suggestions on how to get it started, and I think we ought to put a movement together for that. I think that should have a website, and I could, and I think you could put the top 10 together. I'm not sure it would be good for families, but we could put a little disclaimer on it.
I agree. Bring the sexy back. Bring the sexy back.
So basically,
you,
open yourself up, roll in the hay, you know, get them involved in super fun ways, not, you know, don't take them to a dressage lesson straight off the bat.
Yeah,
that would bore
anyone.
Yeah, that would kill any relationship future you have. Well, thank you, Dr. Jen. We appreciate you being on, and we're looking forward to having you on once a month. Dr. Jen's going to come back with us, and I think what we're going to do, we wanted to introduce Dr. Jen to the audience today. What we're going to do is we're going to pick a topic, and we're going to really focus in on that topic every month, and similar to the way we do with Horse Tip Daily, although you'll be able to call in and talk to Dr. Jen, too, which is what makes this show a little bit different. So, Dr. Jen, we'll look forward to talking to you again in a month, and we thank you for getting up early out there in Colorado. Your website, go ahead and give that out.
If you're interested in the horse work, it's happilyeverafterranch.com. And if you're interested in finding love, it's mysoulmatesolution.com.
All right.
Love
thanks,
it.
Dr.
Thank
Jen.
You so much.
Thanks so much for having me, you guys. Have a great week.
Bye.
See, I thought you would enjoy Dr. Jen. I thought, you know, she's a lot of fun.
I think she's great, and she's going to give some great advice. And hopefully throughout our visit with her, I can learn to be a better horse wife, because it sounds like she can kind of coach horse wives as well to not be so demanding or picky or whatever. I think I'm going to learn a lot from her, and I hope all our listeners will as well.
Well, now you see why I liked her so much. You know, that first suggestion was great with me. You know, that was just, that made my day.
She's an advocate for the horse husband is what she is.
That's right. What is true? You think about it, and you got a new boyfriend who's never been around horses, and what's the first thing that horse girls do typically is they bring them to the barn. Well, if it's your own barn and you're taking care of the horses, you have to clean the stalls. You have to do all the work anyway. Whether he's there or not, you got to do the work. So that's the first thing we're exposed to. And that's not necessarily, that doesn't make it very attractive to a non-horse guy.
However, on the flip side of that coin, it is also a test, Glenn. We are testing the men out when we take them to the barn. You know, if the guy gets out of the car and holds his pant legs up and tiptoes around because he doesn't want to get dirty, then he's out the door. I mean, you're gone. So we are judging you guys on your willingness to work as well. So other side of that is we are watching you.
Well, we want to hear your opinion. Give us a call. You can talk about this topic. That's fine. At 347-637-3238. And don't forget, one lucky caller today is going to win a prize pack from Omega Alpha worth $150. We did have a caller that called in, but she couldn't stay with us. It was Rhonda. Jennifer talked to her. It was Rhonda from Ontario, Canada, who happens to be at Hollywood Studios today. And she listened in, I guess, a little bit on her way there on her iPhone. And she wanted to call because she heard us talking about Hollywood Studios. And she said she's going today. She's going to make sure she stays tonight to see the Osborne lights. That she'll call again when she is not making an international call. So, well, have fun, Rhonda, over at Hollywood Studios. And you can turn the show off now and go have fun. That's fine. Don't forget to ride Aerosmith Roller Coaster. And Toy Story was a blast. What fun Toy Story was.
Well, let's get to the news, Glenn, and then we have some more business coming up. We are going to talk to a very special guest, Guy McLean. So we'll talk to him in just a minute after the news.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. Wendy Schaefer riding Kyona Sundancer won the Australian International 3-day event this weekend in a tight finish, narrowly beating Christopher Burton by half a point in the final phase of the Equestrian Australian Adelaide CCI 4-star competition. Schaefer's win follows a hotly contested event with less than 4.5 penalties separating the top three riders, Emma Mason, Stuart Tinney and Schaefer, after the cross country. Schaefer also took third place with her second ride, Koyona Sunshine. This is Schaefer's second win of the 4-star event, which is held in the City Park of downtown Adelaide. The event marks the last of the 6 four-star competitions in the world for 2010. The United States Equestrian Team Foundation has received a record $5 million endowment bequest from Ken and Al Adams of Wellington, Florida. The gift will mark the creation of the Ken and Al Adams International Competition and Training Grant Fund. Providing an annual grant, the fund will add supplemental funding to the 3 Olympic disciplines' high-performance programs of dressage, eventing, and show jumping. These funds further augment the international competition and training plans that repeatedly generate Olympic and World Championship medal-winning performances. Former CEO of True Value Hardware, Ken Adams has been an equestrian enthusiast his entire life, from playing polo to fox hunting. The Adams wanted to give to the sport and decided to do so by creating this fund to facilitate the betterment of the United States equestrian team's efforts. Margie Engel of West Palm Beach, Florida, riding Indigo, won the $75,000 Rico Big Ben Challenge at the Royal Winter Fair in Toronto this weekend. A capacity crowd with standing room only created an electric atmosphere in the Rico Coliseum as Margie, who has been riding at the Royal nearly every year since 1989, delivered the only fault-free round in the 7-horse jump-off. The pair, who won the $100,000 World Cup Grand Prix last weekend at the Syracuse International, ended a 3-year winning streak of this Royal Horse Show class by Britain's Michael Whitaker. The United States Dressage Federation has launched a new e-membership category. This membership is an online educational membership for non-competing members featuring eTrack, an online center that provides unlimited access to a searchable database of articles and videos on equine healthcare, training, and more. In addition to eTrack, e-members will be able to access the Federation's online members-only magazine, the USDF Connection, and enjoy discounted memberships from USDF's many educational partners. The cost of an adult e-membership is $35 per year, and the cost of a youth e-membership is $10 a year. This is HRN News, and I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning! Oh, what a beautiful day! I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Well, we're back here at Horses in the Morning, and Jamie, we have a very special guest coming up here that I'm excited about. I met him at the World Equestrian Games. He was there. He had just come over not too long before that to the United States from Australia. And he's quite an entertainer and very popular in Australia and became very popular very quickly here in the United States. And we'd like to welcome to the show Guy McLean. Hi, Guy.
Good morning. How are you all?
Good. Well, it's good to talk to you again. I've missed you since we didn't spend every day together now.
No, it was wonderful to be there, and it certainly was a great buzz. And come back here, back to Texas, I'm missing it as well.
Well, good. Well, now, what's happened since the World Equestrian Games? I hear from Emily that you're working on booking some things for next year, and it's starting. You might have a tour to do here.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. Lexington was wonderful for us and enabled us to meet up with a lot of good shows in the U.S., but also there's talk for Europe and England and that sort of thing, which is wonderful. And also I met with Prefit Ranch Equipment, who are someone that I knew of in Australia. They've got an incredible ranching equipment that's been in America for 75 years, and they've shown interest in helping me get a start over here. And we're going to the NFR Finals with them in Las Vegas, and I'll be performing at a Prefit activation outside of the Thomas and Mack Center every afternoon, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, that's terrific.
Question.
Now, go ahead.
So when people see your show, because nobody really, unless you were at the World Equestrian Games, I mean, I'm not that familiar with what you do. Is it more of a demonstration? Is it a clinic? Is it a show? Is it an exhibition? What do we see when we come to see your show?
Well, you see me and my 4 very best horses. The reason I travel with four of my own, and I'm asked this all the time, how the entertaining started. A lot of people think that I might have been a showbiz kid right from young, and I never was. I was always a very shy young boy, but I've always been very attached to horses and the power and grace that they had, and how even as a young child that I felt stronger and braver and more confident in their presence. And then as I started to breed them, the three horses that I've got here, they're the same colour, all by a stallion called Nugget back home. And I also bred the other gelding that's very special, and I didn't want to sell them. So it was if you don't sell horses or if you don't train them for other people and send them home, you don't make any money. So I had to come up with a performance that would enable my horses to make money for me. And so to explain what I do is I'm very open-minded and very, very open to watching some of the very best horsemen and women in the world. I've not been trained under anyone as such, but Anki van Gunsven rode on the back of my stallion Nugget with me at Equitana. And when I do my flying changes, I try to be like a dressage rider. When I stop and turn, I try to be like a cutter or a reiner. So a lot of the stuff you see my horses do is what you'd expect from a professional horseman. And then probably 50% of what my horses do you've probably never seen before and wouldn't expect. I've always had a very open imagination, and I think that the sky's the limit with the horses. And I think that's my job more than anything. I had a lot of people come up to me at Lexington who said they wanted to train under me and be my students and that kind of thing. And I believe it's more my job to inspire and educate than actually take someone by the hand and show them exactly what I do. I didn't learn from any particular human. I learned from working with countless numbers of horses. And so I get a lot of people say that I inspire them, and then it's up to them to go and chase their journey a little bit, because when I'm doing a lot of clinics, I don't have time to ride my own horses. And I'm in the horse industry for no other reason than I can't be anywhere else. I get such a kick out of them. I drive through Texas here and nearly drive off the road looking at the horse studs. You know, I am a horse tragic as bad as anybody else.
Well, you're talking to the right people, horses. Then, because, yeah.
Yeah, tell us about your horses. What are they, and why are they so special?
Well, they're so special to me for no other reason than I bred them, I suppose. You know, you can have children that aren't very special and don't have any real breeding, but they're the most incredible individuals to you, and that's what my horses are like. It's funny, when I came over here, because I wasn't sure what people would think. I mean, I've ridden in arenas beside 250,000 and million-dollar horses, you know, at Lexington and also here in Texas and the Andalusian Nationals and that kind of thing. And my most expensive horse back home was a $6,000 stallion that is the father of one of my horses and that I have here. And he's the gelding that can canter on the spot and canter backwards and do flying changes every stride. And my best stallion cost me $200, and he's the father of three of them. So the reason I have these four is because I have that emotional attachment to them. But I think what makes them special and what makes them be able to do the things that they do for me is that they know for a fact that they will never leave my presence until they're too old not to be ridden. I have got one gelding that I have promised to my best mate back home, because he just loves him and says when he's retired he's got a paddock for him. But all of the other horses will stay with me from now and until the time that they pass. And I think horses know. I think they're a lot smarter than we think we think that they are. And when people train them up and then are prepared to sell them on, I think the horse knows that. And my fellas know that I'll be there for them for as long as they need and whatever they need. And, you know, they're Australian stock horse and quarter horse bloodlines. It's one of the geldings' great-grandfather was Doc Oak, who was a fantastic horse of yours here in America. But people are very impressed with their bone and their structure. They've got a bit of thoroughbred in them and a little bit of Arab from back home, so they're very good boned, very good footed horses. And they're not probably, the one horse I've got is super brilliant, that Spin Abbey is amazing, but the other three are just good, solid, what people would call ranch horses over here, that they just do, you know, able to do a lot of different things. My big gelding Hope goes bridleless and saddleless collected like a dressage horse, and then he'll also work a cow and gallop through the bush. But I think it's the connection that I have with them, and the fact that I was listening to your radio before and saying you can't go away from the horses. I had to put them in quarantine for 3 days when we come into LAX, and I fretted for 3 days that I couldn't see my horses. So I think they know that, and that they know that they mean that much to me.
So absolutely, you are the kind of person that worries dramatically when you're not with your horses. So do you ever take a vacation from them?
Very rarely. I mean, I get to go to Las Vegas next week. That's a working vacation. I don't really, vacations have never been a big thing for me. I've always wanted to be at the next show and putting my horses in front of the next crowd and always going somewhere. So unless it's not a vacation, if horses aren't involved, as far as I'm concerned, I don't work horses for a living. I suppose I live to work horses, and so that might be painful for the partners that I've had. And I seem to keep strong horse partners more than I do women. But I got a gorgeous girlfriend here that's with me for a year, and she's not sick of me yet, so it's good.
Yeah,
I was
going to
ask that too.
I will attest to that. She is gorgeous, and she doesn't appear to be sick of him, so I can vouch for that. We'll give her a shout-out right now. We're talking to Guy McLean, who is an Australian. I don't know. Do you consider yourself an entertainer?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's what I do. I would always put myself as a horseman first, because they're everything to me. And if I had a chance. There was a while in Australia that my bush poetry was going very well and people were calling me the bush poet horseman, and that made me feel sick. I didn't want anything to be put above my horsemanship, so people have asked me too if I could be the world's best entertainer or the world's best horseman, what would it be? Well, the horseman's got to come first. I think I can entertain because of what my horses think of me, and I use that as the base. And even though people say I'm a great entertainer and I'm good on the microphone, it's the power that the horses give me that enable me to do that. I find it very hard to stand in front of 20 people and talk about something else, but I can stand in front of 20,000 people and show my horses and talk about them. They give me a real strength, and they're a walking, breathing security blanket.
Well, let's rephrase that,
then.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, listening to you and then looking at the pictures of your horses online, at your website, GuyMcLean.com, do you ever get this? No, you have to have heard this. You're kind of like the man from Snowy River with all the buckskins.
Yeah, I did get called that. And when I saw Nugget at 16 months of age, that was my first thought. I've got myself a Denny, when Denny was the name of the man from Snow River's horse. And here in America, people are coming up and saying, "Are you the man from Snow River?" And I say, "Well, that's lovely of you, but I was 8 when that movie came out." And a lot of people also say that. They also say, you know, those horses look just like Brumbies. And I said, well, the reason they look like the Brumbies and the man from Snow River is because the Brumbies were purebred thoroughbreds or Australian stock horses. Like our Brumbies back home in Australia are very much like your Mustangs. They're lovely little horses, but they're not as refined as the horses that we breed ourselves. But I have been likened to Jim Craig and my horses to the Brumbies, and there could be worse things, I'm sure.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, here's the answer, Glenn. Hold on. The answer, when people ask you, are you the man from Snowy River, you can say no, because the man from Snowy River actually is one of the talent judges on Australia's Got Talent now.
That's right. Yeah, no, he seems a great fellow. There was a chance I was going to catch up with him, and I'm sure I will one day, because I know that... Right from a little kid, I wanted to be, as I say, at 8 years of age, I'd already started my riding, but I used to ride just like him. I, hands down, lowered my hat, pushed right down to my nose so I couldn't see, and I had to change my way of riding a little bit, because I just wanted to be so much like him. But I think that's my job now too, is a lot of kids are watching my DVDs and wanting to be horsemen, and it's a big thing to be a role model, because horses are no longer so much needed in this world, and yet I feel they're needed more than ever, because they're needed for the way they keep us connected to the earth and to realness. You know, you can't work with animals can't work open-heartedly with animals and be terribly arrogant or unhumble, because that's who they are, and they keep you rooted to the ground. And a lot of people say to me they love my humbleness, and I say I work 4 horses, bridleless and saddleless. The moment I get arrogant, one of them leaves or I fall off. You know, you've got to stay connected to them, because the moment you're not connected to them, you're not connected to them, and you're normally not with them.
Well, God, we're speaking to Guy McLean. As I said, I'm going to change it now to Guy McLean, the horseman entertainer. There, I got it in the right order. Is that better? That's good. So if you want to give us a call, we'd be happy to you could speak to Guy if you want to, but give us a call at 347-637-3238. We'd love to hear from you. Guy, tell us, you know, because as Jamie said, so many people have not seen what you do yet. By the way, I found that good promo video you did about your United States tour, and I'm going to put that in our show notes. So if you can go to our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com, and we're going to put his promo video on there, which shows a little bit about what you do. Tell us a couple of the things you do in the entertainment portion that are different and that people have not seen before. Tell us what they are.
Well, I've got the gelding spin, Abby, that a lot of people ask me how he does the things he does, like, I think in the world at any one time, there's three horses with the ability to canter backwards. Well, I feel blessed to own one. This gelding, I can have my three Liberty horses standing bridleless and saddleless about 4 or 5 feet apart, and I can canter that gelding sideways through the gaps that I make and canter him on the spot in between them, or even canter him backwards through that same area. And then I use them as bending poles and racing back and forth. And it's just... people are more blown away with the small things that my horses do. Like for a horse to stand still, having three horses standing separate in the arena while you race one in and out, cracking a stock whip as you go through the gaps, a lot of people would, watching that, it's not as hard as what the horse that I'm doing is riding, but people who know horses know that for a horse to stand still while there's hectic motion going on is a very big thing. People are always very impressed with the lay down. I can lay all three horses down and work that little pony in and out of the gaps that I make. And normally I make it difficult, and he's cantering through with one horse's shoulder at his front end and one horse's hip jammed up real close. He's got to canter through a gap with barely room to get through. And then I just, like everybody does it every day, I just start to side pass over the top of those ones on the ground. And, you know, they'll stay there as though there's absolutely nothing happening. And the biggest thing I suppose I do, and the thing that I always finish off with, because I find that in this world that first impressions are extremely important and it sets the tone of the day, but the most important thing that we do is the last thing we do. You and us three here have had a lovely interview, but if I swear on the last few things, that's all people are going to remember of Guy McLean, is that he's got bad manners. So it doesn't matter what you do in the start of a working session with a horse or in the start of a performance or what you do in the middle, it's what you do in the last 3 seconds that is the most important. So I lay one horse down and side pass the gelding over the top and then call my other two and they side pass on them. I stand on the back of three horses standing over the top of one underneath, and that leaves a lasting impression for people to go and say about this crazy Australian and his wonderful horses.
You know, it did leave a lasting impression on me too, I got to tell you. Jamie, what's the first thing I told you today when we were having Guy on? What did I tell you about was that?
Oh my gosh, Jamie, you're never going to believe this. This guy lays a horse down and then has three horses stand right over top of him. Yeah, so, and the pictures on your website.
If I did it at the start, you would have forgotten, Glenn. That's why I did it last.
Well, it's a good point, actually, and it makes a lot of sense, and I was thinking about that, too. It's the same way, you know, it's kind of the same way with doing shows, Jamie, or we have to keep that in mind. What do you hope to accomplish here in the United States? Do you have a goal for what you hope to accomplish here?
I'm getting asked that a lot, and it's funny, in Australia, I never got to ask people. Could just say I just wanted to be a horseman, and I was going to do whatever I could to stay doing that. But I'm getting asked that a lot here, and I suppose it's a lot more goal-orientated over here. My goal, I suppose, and I've heard of other horsemen, other businessmen, there's goals to make, you know, $10 million and that sort of stuff. My goal is to open the eyes and minds of horse people. And I had people come up to me at Lexington, and it's normally ladies, and thank goodness for them. I built my business around that. But they came up and with tears in their eyes and said it was amazing for them to think that they may never have the time and effort to go home and do it, but to see that it was able to have that kind of connection. And a lot of people are very impressed with the softness I have. And I say, don't be fooled. I'll be as firm as I need to be, but I'm always as soft as I can. But my biggest thing is as I say, to open the minds and hearts of people to what these wonderful animals can do. Obviously, to be financially sound for myself, I want my family and I to never want or need for things. And in Australia, I perform over the place, and yet if I went for 6 months without work, I would have gone broke. It's a wonderful country to learn the horsemanship trade, but it's not big enough or lucrative enough to make good dollars out of it. So I wanted to base myself in America and then perform all over the world from there. And there's a two-hour show that I do where I start and educate a young horse in the first hour. And a lot of people think that my team must take 5 hours a day, 7 days a week. But within an hour on 99% of young horses, I can be walk, trot and canter on them for the very first ride of their life in an open arena and stand on their back and crack two whips or pull a tarp around behind with their tail. And within 3 or 4 weeks, they're doing most of the things that I do. So it's one thing to tell people that, but it's another thing to show and to educate. And it's funny, a lot of people think that watching someone educate a young horse would be boring, but I've had some of the biggest laughters and some of the biggest applauses and that starting the young horse. They normally clap very loud when you climb up in the saddle for the very first time, and I don't know if they're doing that to help you or to see you get backed off, but it's definitely exciting. So I think that's my biggest thing is to once I get it lucrative over here and I turn it into more of a business, and I'm told over here that I'm not just a horseman but I'm a product and I need to learn how to sell that product better. And that's something I feel I can learn from watching others who are very good at it. And but then I want to be able to make a difference to the way horses are seen and also the way they're treated. And sadly, it takes money to do those things, but I'd love to be able to do more charity things and that sort of stuff. I've done like 25 shows here and 10 of them have been charity events, and it's lovely to be able to give back. And I'm really looking forward to the day that my name is big enough that I can put on a two-hour show and raise $200,000 and give it to a charity that needs it most.
Well, you know, Guy, I think you have a very bright future in the horse world. You seem to really get it. I do have a quick story for you, and maybe this will inspire you a little bit. But, gosh, 10, 15 years ago, I was living up in Ohio, and I worked at a barn that took thoroughbreds off the racetrack, retrained them, and then placed them in homes. And it was a very great facility. And there was a guy that was coming into town that was wanting to put on a show to teach people how to train their horses. Well, we had so many different types of horses and so many different issues within these horses that I decided to bring 4 horses to this unknown clinician's clinic and put on a demonstration. And so I got to ride 4 horses in this clinic with this guy all day long and learned so much and thought he was just so interesting and so fascinating. He was fresh off the boat from Australia. His name was Clinton Anderson. So I think you're in pretty good shape.
That's good. And to see what Clinton's done over here, it's been a wonderful effort to him. And I know one of his mentors back home in Australia, Ian, and Ian's an amazing horseman, but he himself would say he didn't know how to market what he did. And I take my hat off to Clinton with what he's done. And you know, I need to learn from fellas like that, because all of my learning and all of my understanding has been in the arena with the horse. And now I need to learn how to get it out there. It's no good having the best dinner in the world if you can't get anyone into the restaurant. So I take my hat off to people like Clinton that have made it marketable and definitely got the message out to more and more people, because I think that's our job. If you've got a gift, it's no good holding it to yourself. It needs to be shared.
As long as you keep that in mind, you know, I think the world is open to you, and the United States certainly is a great place with, you know, so many horsemen and horsewomen that want to improve and want to improve their relationships with their horses, that seeing how you communicate with yours is going to be a complete inspiration. So I'm inspired just listening to you.
Thank you very much.
Well, and you have a partner, too, that works with you. I don't want to exclude Emily. She, you know, and she's a bit of a horse person or horseman herself, right?
She certainly is. Emily and I have seen each other for many years at shows, and Emily's mother has got a Camilla Roy vaulting team, and so Emily's been doing vaulting since she was very young, and also trick riding on beautiful big Percheron. So that's something at the moment she hasn't had much time to do, but as we get going and I'm able to do my two-hour show, we've already got a beautiful mare back home, a 17-hand-high Percheron cross Australian stock horse to bring over for Emily, and most of the trick riding horses sort of 14-2, 15-2 hands high, so this is a beautiful big mare that Emily will be able to do her stuff on, and she Yeah, she looks lovely. It's wonderful to see these little girls riding these magnificent horses and seeing the connection between mm-hmm. the both. And so she's very excited to be able to do that in the very near future.
Well, we're excited to see her work with you. It was an absolute pleasure to meet you at the World Equestrian Games and down there at the International Equestrian Festival. You always knew when Guy was in the house, because we were up at the other end of the building trying to record our 2010 radio show, Samantha and I, and we heard what sounded like gunfire going off, and it was Guy with his whip. And you always knew when Guy was in the house, because you could hear those whips throughout the building. You do a spectacular show. You're very funny, very entertaining. And I think that's you. I always say, you know, with the Horse Radio Network, we have to be entertaining first. People will learn something second. But if you're boring and you're trying just to teach people, they will not learn. And you have that down to a science. You make it entertaining first. They always learn something second, and I congratulate you for that. You have that formula figured out, and that's why I'm sure, like Jamie is, that you're going to do fine here.
Thank you very much, and I'd like to thank people like yourself. You are giving me a stronger voice in the industry already just by talking to them, and I thank you very much for the opportunity.
No problem, and we can't forget Jamie. He is quite a poet, too. The first time I actually had Guy on a show was the 2010 radio show, because he wrote a poem about the World Equestrian Games. I don't know if you remember that, Guy, but that was the first time I actually had you on a show was to read poetry.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And it's funny what you say. I so wanted to talk about my horsemanship, but I thought any airtime would be good. But the horseman in me wanted to talk more about horses in the poem.
Well, you know, and it's funny, we started with poetry, but you've been on a number of the shows now and been able to talk about horsemanship. So it is kind of interesting sometimes how it all works out. So, Guy, take care of yourself. Best of luck to you and Emily next year. And you'll be posting your schedule as it comes into fruition on your website?
Yeah, we certainly will. We've got a website dedicated to the USA Tour, and that's www.guymacleanusatour.com. And I've also got a Facebook that I had 800 friends on that before I ever knew that it was up. But we've also got a Facebook that Emily posts some stuff on regularly, which is just Guy McLean.
Yeah, okay. Well we don't have 800 anymore, Guy. You have, looks like about 1,600 on there. You doubled it now since you know it's up.
It doubled since we've been here. It's been really good.
Well,
good
thanks,
luck, guys.
We'll link to your website, and maybe we'll see you in Vegas. We're trying to get that worked out, and maybe we'll see you up in Vegas.
I look forward to it. It'll be lovely to see you again. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, bye-bye.
That was Guy McLean, who is going to be a new inspiration to horse people all over the world, I think, starting here in the United States. And, of course, he's very popular already in Australia. He's performed in front of groups of about 25,000 or more. So he's done a terrific job over there. And you can hear, you know, you can hear it in his voice. He is a sincere horse person.
Yeah, he really is. And that was what was impressive was, you know, I hate the fact that he feels like he has to learn how to sell to be successful. Unfortunately, in America, that's kind of how you have to be. But I think, you know, as long as he's honest and speaks from the heart like he did today, I think that hopefully that'll catch on instead of the buy my whip, buy my this, buy my that. But, you know, I think he's going to be great. I think what he does is really cool, and I think he's got something special.
Yeah, I had a hard time keeping my mouth shut there during that part because I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking so many of these guys, you know, they start off with the good intentions and then money gets in there and it becomes all about that. And he is such a warm, truthful individual that I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that his character stays that way and that he can pay the rent. You know, that's important too. What he's saying is true. We all need to do that. So let's hope it stays that way and that he can find a balance, a very nice balance between the two. So good luck, Guy and Emily. Have a lot of fun and enjoy your ride here in the United States. Well, we have a lot of other shows here on the Horse Radio Network. By the way, you still have a few minutes to call in if you'd like at 347-637-3238. We have a lot of other shows here on the Horse Radio Network. Chris Stafford, who does the news for us every day, puts three of them out. One of them's called the Dressage Radio Show, and right now up there, you can take a listen. She had another Australian on there by the name of Brett Barbary. He is a dressage rider that came to the World Equestrian Games, and he talks about his life after the World Equestrian Games. We have the Eventing Radio Show. She had Elizabeth Barron on, who won her first CCI two-star, a rider up and coming, and she reports on the last major events of the year. And also, Jumping Radio, she had two Texas teenagers on, and you would say, well, Texas teenagers on the Jumping Radio Show, shouldn't they be on the Western Radio Show? Well, you would think that, except these are two of the top names now coming up in the jumping world. And they're 16 and 18 years old and have won a ton of money in the jumping world. So you can hear them talk. Yeah, you can talk about their life. Lenny and I think it's Erin Bruheim. So they were on the Jumping Radio Show as well. You can find all of those shows at horseradionetwork.com. Plus all of our other shows as well. Well, it's been fun here, Jamie. We're here in beautiful Ocala. We're going to get packed up now and ready to head off to Arabian Nights. We're going to do a show down there for the Stable Scoop Radio Show. We're going to have the vice president of Arabian Nights on with us as the co-host, and she's bringing some of the entertainers and horse trainers in to chat with us. So we're looking forward to learning a lot about that, and I'll have that to talk about on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be great. And we really want to thank Samantha Clark, your WEG co-host, your 2010 radio show co-host, Samantha Clark, for calling in and kind of updating us on what she's up to. We also had the love doctor, Dr. Jen from happilyeverranch.com. She's a love doctor, but she specializes in horses and relationships, and she was very interesting. And thanks so much also to Guy McLean for calling in. And we'll have links to all these websites up on our show notes if you go to horsesinthemorning.com. Obviously, we're on Facebook. Hey. If you miss this show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites. You can download it on iTunes. You never have to miss anything.
Well, Jamie, I just wanted to say that I just got an email from Dr. Jen. She said she had a blast being with us. Thanks for having her on. And she closed it by saying, here's to a good roll in the hay. So
I love it. It might be a little itchy.
Before we go, Jamie, let's take a call from Robert Dunn. Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just called to say you jinxed me last week.
What did I do?
How so?
We were asking about the weather and how it was here in Minnesota, and I said it was beautiful, and you're like, oh, that's going to change.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Oh, we got like 8 inches of snow this weekend.
Well, I guess it's to be expected, but, yeah, it's probably all Glenn's fault. Blame it on him. I blame everything on him.
I'm going to.
Well, Robert, I'll tell you what, I think I made a mistake earlier in the show, too. I said, you're the one that said I was a little kid. It was actually Karen from Kentucky Performance Products said that.
Yeah, I actually posted something on Facebook because you said that, and I was like, I don't think I said that.
But you agree
but
with it, I'm sure.
I do agree with her, yes.
Well, I am sorry I jinxed you. Well, I'm not too sorry. I'm sitting here in Ocala where it's going to be 80 degrees today. So I'm not too sorry.
Robert, I would like to say that your Facebook post asking if I was sobered up after my trip to New Orleans, I really sobered up right coming in the wire there. So around 9 o'clock Eastern was right about when I sobered up. So I do appreciate that. And, yes, New Orleans is a wild, wild town.
Robert, she talked about coming out and seeing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I'm sad that she didn't enjoy New Orleans. It's one of my favorite cities. I love it there.
Yeah, you're probably a little wilder than I am.
Robert, let me ask you a question. Do you have horses currently, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, I thought you did. I thought you're riding though. You're taking lessons, if I remember right.
I take dressage lessons, yeah. I ride other people's
horses. Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. Well, you know, Jamie, when you, she didn't say, if you remember closely, Robert, though, she said she saw somebody, you know, kicking up as she came out of the hotel. She didn't say if she was one of those people and she was going back into the hotel. She never mentioned
that's
that.
That's true.
Part. Yeah.
It's true.
Now, listen here, you boys. No comment, and you are not allowed to talk to my husband about that weekend at all. He's far away from this radio show for at least a couple of days.
Robert, I think it would be a great idea. What do you think? I want to get her husband, and I want to get a couple other horse husbands on here and kick all the women out. We'll kick Jennifer and Jamie out, and we'll just have a horse husband's day here one morning on the show. I think we should do that.
It'd be a good time.
Yeah, I think it would too. And we won't allow any female listeners at all for that day. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
you know what?
Yeah, you're right.
It'll be the most listened to day we ever have. Well, thank you very much, Robert. We got to get out of here. We appreciate you calling.
All right. Have fun at Arabian Nights.
Yes, it's going to be a wild. And you can look for that on Stable Scoop in an upcoming episode. And we'll announce that here
on
the show as well. Well, enjoy the show.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank
Poor
you, Robert,
Don't
for
make
calling
a snowman.
In. All right. I think we pretty much wrapped up the show already. Jamie, we will see or talk to you again tomorrow morning. One more day at Ocala, and then we head home to beautiful Lexington, Kentucky. By the way, I'm not ready to move here. We kind of like it still in Lexington, but there are a lot of beautiful horse farms in Ocala, too. And there's something about seeing big open pastures with horses grazing and the beautiful weather here in Ocala and palm trees. That does make
it cool.
It makes it a little bit special. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.